The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Word that you're going to receive, hopefully today, and then for the rest of time. Amen. So praise God. We're going to welcome everybody joining us on the broadcast this morning. God bless you, and we'd like to say welcome to all of you, no matter where you're joining us from. And just a word, while we have a couple of pastors here, I just want everybody to know that Jesus is the head pastor. Right. And my grandfather got in trouble for saying that in a church down in Wabash one time. He put it on the sign out there. They wanted to know who the senior pastor was, and he put Jesus Christ. And the city got their feathers ruffled, and they said, "You can't say that." And he said, "I have to say that, because I'm just an under shepherd. I'm just a hireling, and I'm only here as long as God wills. But I'm here as long as God wills, not 1 minute past, and not 1 minute beforehand, right? Amen. I came from the household of a man that believed that God knows where I'm at when He wants me. The days of man are numbered by God. He's counted my days and He's numbered them. It's not going to be a surprise when I walk into the gates of pearl. God's not going to look at me and say, "What are you doing here? I didn't have you. No, that's like people that are flying on a plane. You know, you get on a plane, plane crashes, you know, and all the people end up, you know, if they all perish, they all end up in heaven, and they're checking them into the gate. It's not like Peter's going to say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" "I don't know. I was with him." God's not surprised. Neither should we be. It's once appointed for a man to die, Hebrews chapter 9. It's once appointed. You say, "Well, what if someone takes their own life?" It was once appointed. And we're going to find out today that God gives everyone a chance to change their direction. But it's once appointed. Don't be saying, "Oh, this plague and this pandemic is taking people left and right." It's once appointed. God knew before He created the world that there were going to be some evil men that were going to create something in a test tube, and they were going to release it on this world. And He knew that how many exactly it was going to take. God's not surprised. God knew. And I've said this before. I've counseled with people who have been in accidents where people lost their lives through just an accident. And I said, "Don't." And people wanted to say, "You killed them." You didn't kill them. It was their time. Had not the accident happened, it may have been sudden death syndrome. You know that happens in people other than children, right? We call it sudden infant death, but there are people, you saw some, if you watched the news this week, there were people that died for no apparent reason other than their heart just quit. They came to a line in the sand and it was over. That was their day. It's once appointed, okay? So, oh, mercy. Boy, we have got a word today. Are you ready to receive the word with gladness this morning? I hope that you are. Because if you'll receive this word with gladness, now I don't have a rebuke. I love you guys. I want you to know I love you guys. I'm excited about what I'm saying. But you know what? It got exciting here in praise and in worship. I'm telling you. And then in the announcements, I almost just say, "Hey, brother, just preach it, man. You just take it. We'll take up an offering and go home." You know, I was like, but you got to be careful when you come to a house that's on fire for God, because it doesn't matter in the side conversations around the coffee pot. It doesn't matter at the door. It doesn't matter over here tuning up instruments. It doesn't matter. And there's something going to be said about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And don't just wait till you're sitting in the seats to start learning and hearing from God, because you can hear from God back there around the coffee pot. Especially if we run out of pumpkin spice. "Oh, God, we're out of pumpkin spice." You know, "He heard your request and send Vanessa to Walmart or whatever." I don't know. No, I'm just funning. But we need to receive the word with gladness. Too much in the latter part, in the early part of the latter part of the 20th century, the first part of the 21st century, too many people have had a critical ear and a critical mind when it comes to the Word of God. Well, I don't think that's what it says. Well, the Bible says to study to show yourself approved, so that when someone's preaching the Word of God as it should be spoken, as it should be preached, you'll say, you know what? I read that, and that is true. Right? I love what Elder Luke said in the announcements this morning, the Bible study. Is that helping anybody? I hope so, because you're going to hear some of it today that we went through last week. I mean, if last week would have been my time to preach, you would have heard it last week, but this week is my time to preach, so you're going to hear it this week. I'll just give you a little nugget here. To coin a phrase and to quote Pastor Corey, here's your little nugget. You don't want to miss next year's daily Bible study. It'll set you on fire. Amen. For the Lord. There is an evangelist by the name of Reinhard Bonnke. I'm going to leave it about right there, but there is every day in the Word, and it is going to I won't say it's going to revolutionize your life. I won't say it's going to transform your life. But if you're receiving the Word with gladness, it is going to be like a nitrous oxide button on the dashboard of your life. Poof! Or to give it to some people to preview, and the reports that I've heard from it are like, why didn't we do this earlier? Because we weren't ready. You have to build up resistance over time, right? And so... Well, praise God. Go ahead and give me the first slide. This is only got a couple more weeks in this year for this year, and the Lord's already sent us into next year as to where we're going, the direction for next year. But how many of you understand this year that the direction for the church and for the people in the river has been to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind? Anybody get distracted this year? Kind of hard to love the Lord with all your mind, isn't it? But it's worth it if you do it, amen? The devil tries to throw distractions. The devil tries to throw doubt. The devil tries to throw sickness. The devil tries to every trick in the book, but we're still standing, amen? And we're still going out of this year loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Amen? We may have veered for a little bit, but we come right back on course. That's why we have a verse that is put before you every week to remind you, here is the course that we're on. And I got the course last week for next year. Not going to share it yet, but you're going to hear it 52 times next year. Okay? And hopefully it will redirect our paths. Amen? So, all right. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 11. And this comes directly from our reading. But while you're turning there, I want to read you something. As we are in the month of December, which is traditionally held to be the birth of Jesus. And I know a lot of people say, well, he was the Jewish Messiah. He came to the Jews, and he did. He came to them first. Romans 1:16 said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to all who would believe, first to the Jew and then unto the Greek, which we are Gentiles or Greek. He came to them first, and they rejected him. If he didn't spare, the Apostle Paul in Romans talked about, if he did not spare the original branches that rejected him, how much more do you think he's not going to spare those latter branches, or the Greek, that do not receive him? Just a hypothetical question for you. Just hypothetically speaking, if God didn't spare them, but cut them off and grafted us in, how much more then will he spare us if we do the same thing? So, but a lot of people say that Jesus came to the Jews. But I got news for you, and I'm telling you, you have got to read the Word. If you don't get in the Word, you will never make the connection. And if you're not making a connection, how then can you receive the Word with gladness? Right? Gladness is akin to that cheerful giver part. You know, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and we found out through our Word studies of cheerful and that he loves a hilarious giver. You know, he loves a giver that says, you know what, I want this, and I really would like to have that, but I'm going to give this to the Lord because he can do so much more with it than I can. And the Lord said he was going to repay. You can't beat God given. I heard a man say that one time. Talked to him a little bit. Said, you can't beat God given. God won't owe us anything. Let's let that lay right there. God won't owe us anything. Amen. So while you're turning over to Acts, let me get over into Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, it says this. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones from Israel. It's too small a thing. And if you don't have this highlighted, you may want to remember it and go back to it, because he said, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, hold on there, preacher. I'm saying that God had you in mind when Jesus came to this earth. He thought about you too, that he may send him as a light to us. It was in the plan. The whole plan. You know, how many of you remember the old series Dragnet, you know? Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Well, look back here in the book of Isaiah, 600 years before the coming of Jesus. And I'm not going to remesh that. Pastor did an awesome job. If you missed it, shame on you. Get back and get it. You need to get it, because all these things, if you haven't noticed yet, these messages are building. John Bevere told us, we're building God's house layer upon layer upon layer, and these messages are building one upon the other as we go. Amen. And they are here today to edify you or build you up or strengthen you and fortify your position in God. Amen. So no, there's no excuse for us, because he said that he would be a light unto the Gentiles. What the psalmist say? Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. You know what? If he raised him up to be a light to the Gentiles, then I can claim that. Yeah? You see, we got to understand the word so we can receive it with gladness. Too many people just read it and it just becomes ho-hum. Well, we're going through a Bible reading. We're in week 49 or 50 this week. And praise God, there were people that didn't make it to week 50. We're going on week 51 next week. Are you in Acts chapter 11? This comes right from the daily reading. Today is the day of salvation. The question I'm posing today, the question I'm asking you today, is it your day? Today is the day of salvation. We're going to hear about it in a little bit. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. He's given us a chance today. Salvation is ruling today. Is it your day? Now, a lot of people say, I will put off. We've read about King Agrippa and Festus who said, some more convenient time. And I'm not making light of this, but how many of you heard of the storms that came through and took nearly, maybe 100 lives? The count's not in yet. And each and every one of them, I guarantee you, had plans for the morning. But the morning never came. The morning never came. Today is the day of salvation. And my question for you is this your day? Is it your day? I want you to receive this word with gladness so that it will get down in your heart and you can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, because he is holding me in the palm of his hand and I have nothing to fear. That's what I want. Acts chapter 11, verse 15, and it's on the screen for you. It's a little different. I'm reading now the NLT. Again, it says, as I began to speak, Peter continued. This is the Apostle Peter. The Holy Spirit fell on them just as he fell on us at the beginning. Now, who's he talking about? Gentiles. Too many people say, well, that was just for the Jews. Isaiah said no. And now Peter, in the Acts of the Apostles, is saying, no, wait. Wait, no. Just as he fell on us in the beginning. How did the Holy Spirit fall on people in the beginning? What was the confirmation? As the Holy Ghost gave. So if the Holy Spirit is falling on the Gentiles, just as he fell on those in the upper room, just as he did in the beginning, right? That's why the Apostle Paul said, do not forbid the speaking in tongues. Do not forbid it. Now, do you have to? No. You don't. But as I found out this week, and as Vanessa found out this week, you don't have to take a shower either. But the people around you sure appreciate it if you do. Amen. You know, been working and unloading. Most of you guys know we're in the process of a move, and you know, by Thursday, the jeans you had on, you know, where'd you take your jeans off at? Oh, right there. I've got in the shower, like you said. Because guys are a little bit more tolerant, I guess, of that than ladies are. But where'd you take them off at? I don't know. Come to find out, they ran there by the washer. They marched in there by themselves. They knew it was time. I'm kidding. Don't send me hate mail. Just as it did in the beginning. Boy, I would God today that we could find some people who wanted to get back to the original gospel. I wish we could take the gospel plus nothing and change the world like the gospel plus nothing but the Holy Ghost changed the world back in the day. We add too much to it. We add so much. You got to do this and you got to do that. You know, I'll tell this on Brother Robbie. He looked at Jane when they were down here. And he says, man, he don't even preach in a tie. He just gets out there and preaches it. You know, one of these days y'all gonna come in here and I'm gonna be in camel's hair and gonna be eating wild honey. I'll leave the locusts for Pastor Corey in Cricketville. But I'm gonna, you know, you never know. God changes your heart. And if you've got a preconceived notion or idea what a man of God, a prophet of God, has to look like, then most of the people are missing the true gospel. Jesus asked them, said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? What did you go out in the wilderness to see? You know? I'd like to say, well, you know, even some people go, well, our pastor's been on TV. Well, I've been on TV too. You know? I don't know why they put my picture on there, but America's Most Wanted didn't do me any favors. No, I have. I was interviewed once on TV, but we're not serving a rock star. As a matter of fact, I believe that this remnant church that's arising. There's a remnant church that's rising. They're not going to be complicit to the things going on in this world because they're detached from this world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. You want to find out in the end time, and we've been talking about the end time. You want to find out what's going on. You need to find yourself in a remnant church that's in the world but not of the world, because it's not being affected by the things of the world. Not concerning themselves with things down here, only things up there. Today is the day of salvation. Again, is it your day? Too many people here's the biggest criticism, here's the biggest condemnation of the church in America at least. I won't say about the church in the world, because I know some churches in Nigeria that are tearing it up today. I know. But in the church in America, people are too comfortable coming and sitting under the Word of God, hearing a story, having their ears tickled, and going out the door and not making a change in society. The church today is as afraid as the world. But I tell you, your Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And whether I live or whether I die, I'm still the Lord's. For as the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. I win either way. I live either way. My dad said, the Lord knows right where I'm at when He's ready for me. And I'm not going anywhere till then. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Verse number 16. That's just one verse. You God, you doing all right? Not too heavy for you, right? We're doing okay. Listen, it's going to bless you. Look at somebody and say, we're going to be blessed. All right. Then I thought of the Lord's words when He said, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift He gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? Who are we to stand in God's way? You know, God's got a calling on your life. He said, but I'm. You know, y'all go all the way back to Moses and Aaron. But Lord, I speak with stammering lips. I'm tongue-tied. I get tongue-tied. I say the wrong thing, you know. You look at Peter. Peter, he would talk first before he engaged his brain. You know, he didn't put his brain into gear, and he started speaking things out. And if God can use Moses, who was tongue-tied, had a stutter. Now, that's the human aspect of it, right? Let me just tell you, I'm hoping and praying that God will open up some of y'all's voices like He did Balaam's donkey. Now, some of you remaining quiet when you should be talking. Today's the day. Some of you remaining quiet when you should be proclaiming that He's holy. Some of you remaining quiet when you should be saying, I you know, in me I can do nothing, but through Christ I can do all things because He gives me strength. I'm hoping and praying that some of us have at least a Balaam's donkey experience. Oh, the world's just beating me down. Oh, the Rona. Oh, this. Oh, the government. Oh, this. Oh, that. You know, the donkey didn't start talking till Balaam started beating. Wouldn't it be easier if we received with gladness and we started proclaiming the word of the Lord? Wouldn't it be easier if we started on our own? But I'm telling you, the conditions that are around us are going to make some of us start digging in and speaking out. Amen. We're going to dig in our heels and say, not here, not me, not now. But as for me and my house, as Joshua said, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Don't expect people just to know it by osmosis. They're not going to know it. You know? Did you hear the pastors that are being arrested because the Bible is now becoming hate speech? As for me and my house, pastor in Canada again, detained when he came back from preaching the gospel, in prison. But as for me and my house, you know, see, they don't know the Word and they don't know the Lord like we know the Lord. They can throw us in the fire, but what they're going to see is one like the Son of God in the fire with us. Amen. They can persecute us at their own peril, but what they don't understand is we're not going through this alone.
That's right. Amen.
Heard a guy say the other day, oh, I just wish Jesus would just show up. What are you talking about? I brought Him with me. I brought him with me. Now, a lost man can't say that. Because he don't have Jesus. Jesus didn't say, I'll come in and sup with you, and my Father will come in. The lost man didn't say, he didn't tell the lost, I'll give you the Holy Spirit to indwell in you. Somebody said, man, I'm you, especially, you're in a crowd, you hear somebody saying, man, oh, Jesus, just go, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. You know who they're talking to? They're talking to the ears that got Jesus inside them, and you need to turn and say, hey, listen, I'm he's in me, what do you need? Is that too bold? How many times have you been in a hospital and heard somebody say, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Man, you need to stop right there and say, hey, look, I brought him with me. What do you need? What do you have need of, child? We're going to hear a little bit in just a little bit when the people would lay their sick out and Peter's shadow went going across them. Let me just tell you, it wasn't Peter's shadow. What causes a shadow? That there's a great light that's in between something, and it was the light that was shining through Peter, and when his shadow went through, Jesus passed by. Today's the day. Today's the day. Are we proclaiming Jesus? And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift as he gave us when we believed, he goes, who am I to stand in God's way? Who are we to stand in God's way? Are we standing in God's way? Too many people are like people waiting on the bus that just left. You get over into Matthew chapter 28 and the Lord says, go. He didn't say wait, he said go. Go into all the world. He only told them to tarry here until you receive the gift. Once they receive the gift, it's stop tarrying, start going. Well, I don't know the Bible. I've never been to Bible college. You know what you know? Here's what you know. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was begging bread, and I found bread. I once was lame, but now I walk. I once was deaf, but now I hear. And I'm hearing on a different spectrum. I remember when my grandma first heard high fidelity. Hi-fi. We don't even think about it anymore. Everything's hi-fi. Everything's stereo. Do you realize that when they first put stereo in movies, in the movie houses, people freaked out? Because they heard somebody talking. They were looking right ahead. And they heard somebody talking over here, and they're like, whoa. And then they heard the answer from over here, and they're like, whoa. Vanessa likes that. That Australian movie with the this man from Snowy River. And we went to see that when they put in that whatever phonic sound is over here at the movie theater. Don't write me hate letters. You've seen movies too. We don't worship movies. But it sounded like the horses were running over you. We're like, whoa, you know. You imagine hearing that for the first time? People over here, people behind you, surround sound, man, it's a bomb. Right? To the believer, we're tuned into a signal that the world can't hear. Yeah. To the believer, we're tuned into a different wavelength, and the Lord is still speaking every day. I don't know about you all, but the other night about 2:00 in the morning, the alarms were going off, and the Lord just said, peace, be still. Better than night hall. Help you get your Z's right there, buddy. When the Lord says, I got this. All right. Verse number 18, and again, this is what caught my ear in our daily Bible reading. He says, when the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. There's some people that claim to be the Lord's that need to stop objecting and start praising God. When you hear the word of God, stop objecting and begin to praise God. Well, I can't sing. Give him praise. Give him a clap offering. Well, I can't. You know, I won't do. You know, I saw some people the other day, and I know by the bumper stickers on their car they weren't praising Jesus, but they didn't care who saw them in the car, and they were like, rah, 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 you know, and you could hear the, and I'm like, well, I'm not real familiar with that praise chorus, but they were getting after it. Why is it that we, when we become Christians, we want to become all introverted and we, it's like we joined the PGA all of a sudden?
Oh, praise Jesus.
Now, here we are on the 18th hole, and it looks like the Lord's getting ready to drop this million-dollar putt into somebody. Okay, here he comes. Oh! I've been hurting like the dickens this week. I'm just going to confess something to you. I've been hurting like the dickens. I tweaked my knee. I know I shouldn't have done it. I did too much, but I couldn't be outdone. It's a bravado thing. Some people finally made me sit down and treated me bad. Some of these elders were going to have a talk, Pastor. Finally said, sit down. But even in pain, this week has been a week of praise for Vanessa and I. It's been a week of joy for Vanessa and I. See, I made her a promise some 30 years ago. We both grew up in the country, and she's never liked living in the city. And 30 years ago, I said, Lord, if you'll permit it, if you'll allow it, let me get her back out into the country where she wants to be and where she belongs. And every time I think of it, man, the Lord just begins to bless, and he begins to pour out showers of blessings. And I just have to say thank you, because I know it was you. The devil came against it. I can't even begin to tell you how the devil came against it. But God, hath not the Lord said? Amen? All right. I got to quit crying and start reading. I got scripture here. We're receiving the word with gladness today. Even those are tears of joy, so we're receiving the word with gladness. We need, some of us need to stop objecting and just start praising God.
Amen.
Let's don't be so negative. Just praise God. The next report you hear, you know, say, eh, praise God. Because I know I'm on his schedule. Oh, they're doing that. Fancy that. I wonder if that's back in between Daniel 7 and 12 and in the book of Revelation. I bet it is. I bet we can find it. Praise God! You say, well, that sounds silly. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds silly giving your son to die for a world that would hate you. But I'm glad that he did it.
Amen.
There's a lot of things in the church that's going to sound silly, especially for the remnant church in the last day. Are you guys crazy? Have you lost your mind? I don't know if I lost my mind or not, but I took on the mind of Christ, and this is where we're headed.
Yeah.
And we got the mind of Christ in us, and we're going to follow him, as the Apostle Paul said. It's better for us to obey God rather than men. Amen?
Amen.
All right. They said, we can see that God has also given the Gentiles. And I've got this highlighted because it stuck out to me. It hit me like a Mack truck. We can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege. The privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Today is the day of salvation. You still have the privilege. You know, a lot of people sign up for stuff and they never fully understand all of their privileges. They never utilize all of their privileges. When I had a huge salmon boat, bigger than the one that we've got now, I actually moored it up in Benton Harbor, Michigan. At a marina. I can take you right back to the spot. I can't get in there anymore because I don't have the keys. But, you know, only thing I wanted to do was go up there, get on the boat, get the bait ready, get the poles ready, and go fishing. Come back in, clean the fish, put them on ice, come home. You know, wash down the boat, of course. But yet there were pool privileges. There were lounge privileges. All the parties and barbecues that they had, we were invited to because of our membership. We had privileges that we never, I think Ashley used the pool one time. Ashley and Vanessa, I think, one time used the pool. I never stuck a toe in it. Never used the locker room facilities, never used any of that. I was fishing. My whole purpose, single purpose, was to go there, go out in the big water, get some salmon, and come back in, clean them, and go home. That was it. How many Christians do not use or understand the privileges that they have being a child, a son or daughter of God Most High? When I read this and I had this on and I had to back it up and say, whoa, you know, you ever do that? God ever drops something into your spirit and you have to say, whoa, wasn't quite ready for that. Wasn't quite ready for that revelation. Tell me again, there are privileges that we have as Gentiles that we are not utilizing. Man, I pondered on that for a week. So, well, what does that mean? Well, here, let me just give you Webster's definition of a privilege. A privilege is a special right. It's an advantage, or it's an access granted to a particular person or group of people. I think everybody in here went to school. When you were in high school, did you ever pass by the teacher's lounge? I wasn't privileged to go in there. Matter of fact, I got a couple of detentions because I did. You ever go to a Sam's Club without a membership? Hey, what are you doing in here? Right? Want to buy some goodies? Out. Well, I'm with him. I'm gonna turn somebody. If you say they're my brother, you got to make sure they kind of look like you. You know. There are a lot of people trying to crash the party when the Lord says all you got to do is accept Him. And all these privileges shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and most of these things will be added to you. Do we ever? I mean this. All is right. But what is added to us? What is all? What does all encompass? You know, we've made, over the years, we've made a great to-do about the dash between the born on and died on. The dash controls, it has everything to do with a lifetime. What about all? In all these things shall be added unto you. Do we understand all yet? Are we living beneath our privilege? Where is the all? You know, the Apostle Paul said, I've run the course, I've run the race, I've finished the course. Some of us haven't even got around the track once. We're still looking for the all. Some of us haven't even got out the infield yet. You know, I was amazed, when you're talking about the infield, I was amazed that at the Indianapolis 500, were you aware that there's a golf course in the middle of it? Now, you can't see it on race day because all the campers are on top of it. There's a golf course in there. And it's public. You can go play. Where are you guys at? Well, I'm at Speedway. What are you doing? Golfing. Oh, where? At Speedway. All right, anyway. He gave us the privilege. Do you realize it's a privilege to repent? To repent of our sins and to receive eternal life. What an honor. What an honor. Who does this? Knowing that most won't. In Matthew chapter 7, he tells us, he goes, there's many people that are walking by the wide path, and few. When Jesus says few, I don't think he's using hyperbole. When he's using few, he means that there are going to be few people that make it. But everybody has the privilege. Some of those people are going to say, but Lord, we danced for you. Lord, we played for you. Lord, we cried. We wept when you wept. We did all these things in your name. We cast out devils in your name. And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. You say, well, how could they cast out devils in his name? Well, because the name of Jesus has power.
Amen.
The name of Jesus, there's authority.
Amen.
The name of Jesus is the name above every name.
Yes. Amen.
In the spiritual realm, the name of Jesus has more authority than the race card in our society. I'll let that go. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1. We then. Who's we then? We who had the privilege. We who are part of that had that access granted. We who are in that particular group. We then. As workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. How do you do that? How do we receive the grace of God in vain? How can someone receive the grace of God, as it were, in vain? Well, one, by not understanding the all. Not moving in the privilege that's been given to us and granted to us. Or by receiving and then going dormant. Right? We got to go. Did you not hear that Sunday and Wednesday? You can't even spell God without using go. Pastor Burkhart drilled that into us. You can't even spell God without the word go. We got to go. We got to be telling folks. Do you realize that there are people that we're talking to on a daily basis that you may be their last milepost, their last detour sign, their last warning? It may come from you. Do you know Jesus? Today is the day of salvation. Is it your day? Talking with a lady at the gas pumps. I love doing that. Does anybody else do that? Am I just crazy? I'm talking, man, glad the prices are coming down. Yeah, think about that. This time last year, they were a dollar cheaper. Now, that doesn't bode well with some because now they're having voter remorse. But you gotta love them. You just got to love them. I mean, not everybody's in the horse market, all right? If everybody had been in the horse market, we could have pulled down and looked at his teeth and his tongue and said, hey, there's rot in there, you know. I think he's, you know, maybe there's brain worms. I don't know. I'm not saying, I don't want to be derogatory, okay? Can I do that? I'm just trying to make light of a bad situation, all right? And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to be apolitical. I'm not trying to be, but I'm telling you, the Bible says, your Bible says, that as we get into the last days deeper, things are going to get worse and worse. And it's going to get to a point where nobody except Jesus will be able to turn the tide. You got to know that. And that's why we have this privilege, and that's why we need to know what all these things are going to be added unto us. That's why we need to understand it. Okay? Verse number 2 says, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you all the day, all in the day of salvation. I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Not like yesterday was open, but today is the day. In prayer this morning, the Lord told me that some their kairos is closing. Some their window of opportunity is shutting. Today is the day of salvation. If you're watching online, or if you get home and you see this online, share it, because today is the day. Someone needs Jesus today. He doesn't give us words for no reason. Someone today needs Jesus. Isaiah 49 and 8. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore. Wait. To restore the earth. Some people mess some things up right now. But the Lord's given us as a covenant to the people to restore the earth and to inherit the desolate heritages. Now, as I was studying on desolate heritages, I thought, wow, what is that? The Lord's going to give us back the family farm? No. You see, your heritage is not on your inheritance. Your heritage is on the lineage that you leave behind and the blessing that you leave behind. Some of us have a heritage of great men and women of God in our lineage. And some of us aren't walking in that. If I were to ask for a show of hands, most everybody has had a minister or a pastor in their past, in their lineage. That's part of your heritage, a heritage with God. The world is laying in desolation, just like they were in the 490 years between Micah and Matthew. The world was in desolation. God had shut up the windows of heaven, and He was no longer giving a word to His people, and they were desperate. Messiah is coming. You get over into Luke chapter 2, and you begin to read in the birth of Jesus. And you can pinpoint it when Quirinius was governor of Syria. You can pinpoint it. And he called for everyone, the entire world, to be taxed. I'm paraphrasing. And each man had to go to his heritage, had to go to his lineage. Where's our lineage? Where's our heritage? Where does our heritage lie? You know what the problem that we've had in the postmodern church is? We've been trying to get away from our heritage for so long. We've been trying to get away from those old-fashioned preachers from so long. We've been trying to get away from them, but they had something that we didn't. They could only depend on God because they didn't have technology. Can you imagine preaching without Google? How did they do it? And I remember Brother Shockey said one time he had a room in his basement and he had all of his sermons wrote down, and he did, man, and he had them wrote down and bound, you know. I mean, it was just like reading a book. You can see some of the TV preachers do that. They flip through them, you know, and they're going through, you know. And Brother Summerall did that, you know. And the Lord one day was dealing with Brother Shockey, and he said, I want you to get rid of every one of those. But Lord, He said, how can I give you a new word if you're feasting on leftovers? I'm wanting to give you a new word. I'm wanting to give you something fresh in your spirit. I'm wanting to give you bread in the house of bread. I'm wanting to give you the bread of life, the water of life. I'm wanting to give you new wine. He hauled around a little bit. He said, all right. And he started taking stuff out, and he had a berm bin in the back. And his wife looked at him and said, that's 45 years of preaching. Are you nuts? He goes, I feel like it. Do you know what that had to be like? That had to be like Peter and John going into the temple by the gate, which was called Beautiful. And there sat a lame man begging. Alms. How many believers today are begging in the temple? How many believers today, they're begging for just a crumb of the word of life? They're begging for something that's life-sustaining, life-giving, life-altering, life-changing, and they're coming away with cliches and written antidotes and antidotes, and they're coming away with no substance, no strength, and they can barely make it through the day, let alone the week. Well, let me just tell you. As Peter and John said, silver and gold I don't have. But such I have. In the name of Jesus, I'll give you. Look at me. Rise up and walk. Are you here? Rise up. It's time. You've been laid by the gate. People have laid you down. People have put you down. They tried to put every label you can think of on you. They've said that you aren't worthy. They said that you're not worth it. Let me just tell you something. Jesus thought you were worth it because Jesus paid the same price for you as he did the Apostle Paul. Jesus paid the same price for you as he did Billy Graham. You've got worth in Jesus' eyes. And let me just go one further. You've got worth in the eyes of the pastors and the people at the river. You have worth.
Yes, amen.
Rise up and walk. I don't know that the lame man would have thought, well, I can't. I don't got no strength. I don't got no strength in my legs. I can't. What are you talking about? He didn't say that. At the command, rise and walk. Immediately his feet and ankles and his legs received strength. And immediately he didn't just rise up, he started leaping. When was the last time you got happy about what God was doing in your life? When was the time you got happy about the Savior and said, I'm going to rise up and walk in Jesus' name? Some of us need to come to ourselves. We'll get into this more on Wednesday night, but some of us need to get to ourselves because we need to understand that we've been in the pig pens too long. We need to understand that we've been wallowing in the stuff that the world sent us too long. It's like we're in a foreign country and we're losing our strength and we're looking at the garbage that the world is trying to give us, trying to feed us, trying to force feed us. And we need to come to ourselves and say, you know what? In Father's house, even the servants eat better than this. In Father's house, even the servants are treated better than this. I'm going to come to myself and I'm going to say, I'm going to get up from here and I'm going back to Father's house. I'll just tell him, I'm not even worthy to be your son anymore, but just let me serve you. Let me serve you because your servants have plenty. Some of us need to get back to Father's house. Oh, today. Oh. Go ahead and give me that next scripture. Acts chapter 5. I'm going to try in the time that we get left to close this for the Sunday crowd. But on Wednesday night, we're going to turn the plow a notch or two deeper. And it's going to minister to those who are serious. It's going to minister to those who are ready to go. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord in multitudes of both men and women. Don't ever let anybody tell you that the Bible is sexist, because the Lord adds both men and women. Now, the other 926 genders, sorry, you're out of luck, but He adds men and women. If you identify as something else, have it your way. But God ordains and saves men and women. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities, and a multitude gathered from surrounding cities to Jerusalem. By unclean spirits, and they were all, somebody say all, healed. Not some. Not the one that could give the biggest offering. Not the one that had the TV camera in his face. Is God still God? What's changed? If God's still who God is, and I'm not experiencing the move or work and the moving and working of God in my life, then has God moved or have I moved? Well, now at the post office, they'll tell you that I moved. I put in a card. But it's not so obvious in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, is it? It's a slow fade. It's one step. It's missing one week. It's today I don't feel like being driving into church. Then Wednesday night I don't feel like. You know, if the devil can find out he can make you feel like not coming, he's going to make you feel that way a lot. If we were at a rap concert, it'd just be mic drop. You know? But you all pay for these, so I can't do it. If the devil can get you defeated in your mind, he'll keep you defeated in your mind. If you get stuck, and you're sitting on the frame of life, as it were, you need someone to come in and hook on to you that is not stuck to pull you out, else you'll stay there. I saw a tractor the other day that was down to the rear axles. And I don't know if the farmer just got tired of it. I don't know if he didn't have nothing else, or I don't know, but it's still down to the rear axles. It's rusted away. The steering wheel is bent. Now it's going to take an excavator to go in and dig around it, because that got immobile. You know, there's an old saying, you may have seen it on a TV commercial a time or two. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest. But objects that are in motion, they tend to go in motion. They tend to stay in motion. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to stay in motion. We're not going to rest on our laurels, because our world needs Jesus. Well, I hope you're getting something out of this today. I hope I can preach you happy today. I want you to receive this word with gladness, because there's too much doom and gloom going on. Whatever are we going to do? Oh, woe is me. Not, oh, woe is me. Blessed is me. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And as long as the Lord's saying go, and he has never retracted that statement, I got to go. When you read of Jesus, or you read of the apostles, as was their custom, they were in the temple on the Lord's day. They were in the tabernacle on the Lord's day, as was their custom. Even when they threw John in prison and put him on the Isle of Patmos, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Is there anybody in this house? They may separate you from us, but what can separate us from the love of God? What can separate us from his Spirit? Nothing. Nothing. All right. And then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is from the sect of the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were Sadducee because they didn't believe in the resurrection or angels. They were really sad. That would be sad if you didn't believe in a resurrection, wouldn't it? Now you understand why they were called Sadducees. They were sad, you see. Well, okay, it was good. When I went through it in my office this morning, it was good. So maybe it'll hit you on the way home. Maybe it's one of them time-delayed things, right? The Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Okay, all right. I got to move on, because that one bombed twice. All right. And they were filled with indignation. Now, how many of you know, if you're sad all the time and you got a terrible distemper about you, you can get filled with indignation. You can also get filled with indigestion. Did you realize that people that are angry a lot have more bowel troubles? You know, Brother Reed used to pray for people. Remember Brother Reed prayed for good digestion? I figured out what he was talking about. He knew that person had a bad temperament, you know. So he'd pray for good digestion. You ever go out to eat with somebody and you're in a restaurant, a classy restaurant, and we used to have this restaurant that we'd go to in Peru that you eat in rail cars, and they would serve you like they did on the railroads, and it was beautiful. Went down there for prime rib a time or two, and here they are, the wait staff was all waiting, and we're going to pray. Brother Reed, you going to pray? And he would pray for good digestion. Now, this is a 4-star, 5-star place. Those French people, they get upset. Good digestion? What are you talking about? We have the best food there is. You know? No, you don't understand. They were filled with indignation. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them into the common prison. Show them how special they really are. I'm going to treat you just like common dirt. I don't know if you're ready for 19. I just don't know if you're ready. Because some of us have been in the doldrums for so long. Your Bible says that weeping may endure for a night. Your Bible says that weeping may endure for a night. But there's something coming. in the morning. Joy. You know, I never got in so much trouble. Never got in so much trouble one time as when we sang, I Got the Joy in My Heart. Never, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. It was requested. We weren't going to do it all of our own, but it was a kind of a requested song. And they put a lady with us to have her play the keyboards because it just wouldn't be right. And okay, well, you know, I felt like one of those, what was their names? On Andy Griffith, the bluegrass band, you know, remember the Darlins. I felt like the Darlins. She's like, well, what key is it in? I said, well, we're going to start it in G. Just you need to jump in and hang on along best you can, you know. And she kind of looked at me. I think that was indignation. But when I started singing, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You could see that she didn't have the joy, 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 joy down in her heart. And we thought, well, we'll just recite this about 10 times. Maybe she'll get the joy, joy, joy. Nope, never happened. Now, you can get the joy if you want the joy, but you can reject it too. All right? Weeping may endure for the night, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, now, this is something totally new for the Lord here. This is something totally, totally odd for the Lord. Because the angel's giving him a new message. And he's saying, go! I think God's got a single-minded, single-purpose message. It's go. Stand in the temple. Speak to the people all the words of this life. What life? This born-again life. This spirit-filled life. Amen? And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning. Now, it's kind of amazing that they were in trouble. They got in trouble, got thrown into prison for entering into the temple, speaking in the name of Jesus, right? It's kind of amazing that the Lord's going to set them free and send them right back to the place where they got in trouble, huh? Well, Pastor, I just don't think God would do that. I think he'd have me send him a text or an email. Oh, yeah, because God's not smart enough to know that y'all blocking a text and you ain't listening to the emails and you got people on your ignore list. God don't know anything about that. The problem with it is some of y'all been getting texts and messages of love and compassion and saying, would you come home? Would you come home? Today is the day of salvation. Is it your day? And you've been ignoring them, and you've been ignoring them. And you're going to stand before a righteous judge one of these days and say, but God, I didn't know. And he's going to play your text back for you faster than a divorce lawyer. Well, I changed phones. Yeah, so did I. And you know what Sprint did? Sprint did to Verizon. They dumped my whole stupid text files back. I was getting texts from back in 2007. How in the world did they do that? See, we used to think it was strange that the Word of God says you're going to give an account for every word that comes out of your mouth. And we used to think, how's God going to do that? Well, a Sprint can do it. God can do it. That's free. I don't charge you anything. That wasn't even on the a la carte menu. All right. I'll make people hungry. And they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders, not just the Sadducees this time, of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in prison and returned and reported saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely. And the guards standing by outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Will you give me a minute? Will you give me just a second to expound upon a thought that just came to me right now? The Lord just kind of dropped this in here, and I think it's for somebody, or else I wouldn't say it. He said, indeed, we found the prison shut securely. You know that thing that's been holding on to you? When the Lord delivers you from that, you need to, as you're on the way out, shut the door. There are some chapters in your life that you need to shut the door. There are some things in your life. You don't need to be able to run back into the prison if somebody sees you. You need to go out and shut the door on that chapter, on that page, on that marriage, on that whatever in your life, that failure that the devil keeps throwing in your face. You need to get out of there and shut the door behind you, because God's calling you to do a new thing. He's not calling you to go back into the old place. He's calling you to do a new thing, and the Lord just gave me that. I don't know who that's for this morning, but whoever it is, shut those doors. I gotta hurry. There ain't no way I'm gonna get through these scriptures. Not today. We'll get through them on Wednesday night, most of them. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. You know what the world's saying about the church today? They're not wondering what the outcome will be. They know what the outcome is going to be, because they know they've got the church scared. They know they've got the church right where they want them. All we got to do is say, don't come to church, and people will stay home. You don't need to worship. You can go to your bars, your casinos, wherever, but church is not essential. And they know they've got them because people followed them. That's why the founding fathers put it in the First Amendment of the Constitution, the Articles of the Constitution. The First Amendment was that they should make no laws with the regard of religion or the free exercise thereof. And until they strike down the Constitution of this United States, we need to be in the house of the Lord. Before the Constitution was written, Hebrews chapter 10 was written, and it said therein, in verse number 25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even as much as the custom of some, even as much more so as you see that day approaching. COVID didn't kill the church, let me just tell you. It revealed who the church was. Facebook, put your warning on there. I don't care. That's the truth. COVID didn't kill your church. It revealed who your church is and who they're trusting. I must hurry. It wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. They're still standing. We're still teaching the God's people. Amen? You might get taught during announcements. You might get taught over the coffee table. You might get taught on a Sunday morning. You might get taught during praise and worship. You might get taught on Wednesday night after the first year. You might get taught on Sunday night. You just might get taught. You got to be careful about coming to church, because you just might learn something. Then the captain went with the officers, and he brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? What name? The name of Jesus. Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrines, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Now, if I'd have been Peter at that point, I said, "Well, you know, you did say, 'Let his blood be on us. Give us Barabbas.'" I would have reminded him of that. Might have been in the flesh just a tick, but I would have reminded him, right? But But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, here's a good place to highlight. Here's a good place to dog ear your Bible so you got it, so it falls open to it. But Peter and the other apostles said, and I'm going to close with this, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. Because when we obey God, when we trust in the Lord and don't lean on our own understanding, all these things will be added to us. We don't need the world. All these things will be added to us. Today's the day of salvation. The writer of Hebrews said, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. The question that begs answering. We know today's the day. Is it your day? Is this your day? Brought it all back in. A 360 degree circle. Is it your day? Now, as for me and my house, like Joshua of old, we're going to serve the Lord without excuse, without compromise, and without ceasing. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, right now for the word that you brought us to this morning. Lord, it was meat, but I thank you, Lord, that we can receive this word with gladness. And Father, I just ask right now for those who are watching around the world, wherever this broadcast may go and wherever they may hear this podcast, wherever it may go, as long as the opportunity, as long as salvation is open, I hope today that you make it your day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.